Worms, Captain of Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Yeah, the two that have stuck, I guess the three that have stuck, Dad and Dirt Doctor and Howard, have stuck more than those other names. Logan calls me Pops, I think, more than Dad, though, I guess I should say. This hour is brought to you by the group of organic informational things that Dirt Doctor provides. Telephone number, by the way, and there's a couple open lines for you at 866-444-3478. Looks like we'll be talking about bonsai a little bit first thing this hour. But first of all, information for you about this thing we call the Natural Organic Program. We got a lot of things for you. First of all is the website, dirtdoctor.com. It's very deep, has all kinds of information in the library on the dirtdoctor.com. Everything's in alphabetical order. And then there's things in chapters and departments all through the site. And you can see all the index there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. We have a newsletter. It's free. Goes out weekly. And you can get it by simply going to the website of Dirt Doctor and filling out the form there. Or just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. I have 15 books, most of them still easily available. Some are a little hard to find. Some of the very early ones that we did, one of them even before I was in organics, Landscape Design Texas Style, which I need to redo. We need to get that one up for you on the, at least in the members area, one of these days. I haven't done that yet. But most of the books are available through the normal chains. We have books on all kinds of subjects, vegetable gardening, the bug book. We have the great big hardback book that if you don't like it, makes a great doorstop. We've got books on turf. The brand new one is organic lawn care. We've got books for professionals, and the one that's the professional management book is good for homeowners as well as professionals because it just gives you more detailed information and teaches you how better to work with professionals and ask the right questions and, you know, be on top of things. So it's not just for professionals. We have the YouTube. We have a lot of videos on YouTube, and also the members area of dirtdoctor.com is the Organic Club of America, and you can go there and join, very inexpensive, and get some things that aren't available on the public side of dirtdoctor.com. Texas Organic Research Center is our 501c3 not-for-profit organization. Research is the primary thing there. Collecting it and doing it, donating to that is something that you don't have to do, but would certainly be appreciated. And that's what's going on with the Dirt Doctor stuff. Let's help John, and then, again, open lines if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. I've had some questions come in from people who couldn't hold. Hopefully they're still listening, and I'll cover those to GMO stuff and non-organic things going in the compost and some of those issues. But right now, it's John in Dallas. Hello, John.
Good morning, Howard.
What can I do for you?
Well, I was first going to tell you a funny story, or funny to me anyway. I just moved over to Lakewood with my wife and my three-year-old and been listening to you for 3 or 4 years now. Did a big root flare uncovering over there in the Lockwood neighborhood.
Okay.
And moved over here, and I think I may have stumbled into your backyard the other day, and I don't know if that's even possible, but I was on a little hike, and I won't say exactly how I did it, but my son and I were kind of exploring and crossed a little creek and ended up in somebody's backyard, and it was really awesome, and I don't know if that could possibly be yours.
Well, there's several that kind of back up to a bamboo forest over there. So the first clue is if you were in a bamboo forest, there's a good chance you're in my backyard.
It might have been. It was a really nice area, and there was a, you know, I've checked out your videos and watched how you did the zoysia little planting out there. And so I said, well, first of all, this is private property. We better get out of here. But second of all, I said, man, it is nice back here. So whoever's yard it was really nice.
Yeah, we've got a pretty big place. It's about an acre, and that bamboo area back there, a lot of people would object to having it, but it's been there so long, and it's such a important feature as far as privacy, and I like the way it looks and everything, that it's going to stay back there, and we'll see what else we develop back there one of these days.
Well, that's cool.
Well, good. Glad you came by.
Thanks for having me. So, anyway, the other thing I was going to ask you just real quickly about a company I hear advertising on regular radio. I usually listen to The Ticket during the week, and that's sports radio. And there's a company that's advertising called Soils Alive. Have you heard of them?
I have. We used to work with them years ago. The guy that we worked with got to the point where he was not totally organic, and we didn't agree with that approach. He was into using herbicides and things. And then he sold that business to somebody else, and I've never even met the new owner. So I'm kind of in the dark about it right now.
Well, I know that they say all the right things on the radio as far as it sounds like it's a True Green type service where they come around and put fertilizer out and everything, but it's all organic, and they talk about building the health of the soil, and they don't talk about making your grass green until they build the health of the soil and all that.
So, well, we work with several companies that do that. You can go to our website and see several that run banner ads, and Spriggs Company does that, Tree and More Services. Lambert's does that. Tropical John still does that. We got a lot of people that we work with that we're really comfortable about what they do. That company, I'm not comfortable with them because I don't know what they do. I've never even met them.
Gotcha. Well, if nothing else, they're saying good things on the radio.
I like the fact that people are continuing, you know, to move our direction. That's a good thing.
Amen. So then the question I was going to ask you is about bonsai trees. I haven't ever heard you talk about them. I've tried to grow a couple, got a little pomegranate, like a dwarf pomegranate, and some just regular bougainvillea type deals. I'm just trying to grow them small and all that. I've got them in granite, gravel, and no, I mean decomposed granite and lava gravel, and they seem to be surviving. But I'm wondering how much kind of garret juice power can I give them without overwhelming them?
Well, you don't bonsai. You don't want them to get too big. So doing a reasonable amount of garret juice is exactly what I recommend for bonsai. I've got a bunch of bonsai ginkgo trees, and I have some pomegranates as well. Basically, all you do is do a reasonable amount of organic fertilizer, trim the top appropriately, and then from time to time, you take the plants out and do some pruning to reduce the circling and girdling roots and the size of the root system, because that helps to keep the top to a manageable size. My favorite bonsai that I've got is I've got a little forest of ginkgo trees in one pot. I've planted about 20 something trees in one pot.
Wow.
And it's kind of cool. It's a simple thing to do. On the other hand, you can make bonsai as complicated as you want to make it. You know, there's plenty of information on the website. There's books about it, about using the copper wire and bending the limbs to be the shape that you want to have them, and, you know, all that really tedious kind of stuff. But I'm kind of a lazy man. I do the lazy man's version of bonsai myself, and just take off the problem roots from the plant from time to time and keep it in whatever kind of container I want, and use garret juice as the main fertilizer.
And then you bring them in during the cold weather, I'm assuming.
I don't bring my ginkgos in. I do move them up closer to the house, and our house is a house that has such poor insulation that you get warmth coming from the house out, you know, to the patio area to keep things alive. And I don't even bother to bring them in the house. I lost one years ago that somebody gave me, and I was kind of sad about doing that. And I left it out that year we had the incredible winter of 1983 and 84, you know, when it stayed below freezing for a long time. And that was just stupid on my part to leave it out, and I did lose that one plant, but I've never lost any others.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I'll give it a try and appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
And we got some open lines here, so jump on, everybody, while I go through my catch-up thing here. Jump on at 866-444-3478. We got a call, and I was asked about GMO potatoes. Am I worried about that? Well, you bet your boots I'm worried about it. I'm worried about GMO technology in general. I don't like any of it. I think it's all horrible. I think it is the new big business. It's tremendous amounts of money involved, but it's got all kinds of issues. I'll talk about the specific question I received and then some other things and then some other related topics as well right after this. Don't go away.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. While the phones are getting loated back up, already are to a degree, it gives me time for this. The GMO problem is a big one, and it's very difficult to avoid it. That's the most frustrating part of it. If you want to, it's not foolproof that you buy organic stuff. That gives you your best chance, and it's the best way to counteract the negative effects of the GMO technology that's in the food, is to eat as much organically grown food and supplements and things like that as you possibly can, whether you grow them yourself or buy them. And I recommend growing them yourself as much as you possibly can. There's a lot of information about what's wrong and what's bad about it and everything on our website, both in the library and also in the Texas Organic Research Center part of the website. So check all that out. But yeah, it's a big problem. And it's worse in certain plants than in other plants. Corn is, soy and corn are among the worst, and it's one of the reasons why we like the Victor dog food and cat food so much, is that they don't use those things in their pet food mixtures. Again, it's not, doesn't make it foolproof, because the genes are out there. They're ubiquitous, they're everywhere, and especially the corn it has crossbred and is in some of even the organic stuff. But again, the organic lifestyle, organic soil stuff and organic gardening and all helps to neutralize all that. And then the stuff that you eat, if it's organic, it gives you the best chance to neutralize the problems that come with that. The other thing is, can non-organic produce go into the compost pile? And absolutely. A lot of the big compost companies and homeowners, too, they can't get, you know, do 100% organic in a lot of cases. And you don't throw away that waste that comes from the stuff that's not totally organic. The way you neutralize any contamination in it and any impurities or whatever is with the composting process. Just try to kick the temperature up and do the composting as thoroughly as you can, and that's the best way to neutralize and handle those issues. One thing I meant to mention on another subject is, those of you that heard us talking about Enchanted Rock in Fredericksburg, Texas, if you ever come to Texas and you're thinking about doing something a little out of the ordinary, instead of the usual, go to the Alamo and go to Dallas and see Cowboys and that sort of thing, Fredericksburg and Enchanted Rock is something I would definitely recommend. It's an incredible granite monolith, or whatever the technical term is. It's one of the largest in the country. I think the one in Atlanta, Georgia, is larger, but this one is just fantastic to see and experience. And you can climb it all the way from walking casually to climbing some really rough areas. So it has whatever you might want. I also need to mention a couple more companies. When I was talking about companies that do the organic lawn care and even installation and everything too, that I mentioned in pest control and spraying, Rhodey's Nursery in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're specifically in Garland, is in that and been in it longer than anybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, really, with the exception of Lambertson Moore, I guess. They were the first, without question. And then EcoSafe Pest Control does pest control inside and out houses, but they all do also do spray programs and a lot of the things outdoors that you hear us talk about a lot. I think that kind of catches us up with some. Oh, one other thing, ant control, with all the new listeners that we have in different parts of the country, ant control, fire ant control, especially in the South, comes up about, well, how do you do that with organics? The truth is, the organic approach is the only real way to control fire ants. The problem with them was created by the chemical pesticides, throwing out all the diazinon and dursban and orthene and now the new synthetic pyrethroid products doesn't work. That's why there's still so many fire ants out there. They actually made the problem worse than it was to begin with. A lot more queens per mound, a lot more mounds per acre. What will control them is the organic program. Organic gardeners have very small problems with fire ants. And in most cases, putting out dry molasses on a site will run them all off, 100% of them. There are a few cases where you have to go in with a little bit more, and there are tools there. Orange oil, diatomaceous earth, and one of the most powerful, if you can't get a solution any other way, if you do it carefully, don't spray it all over the whole property, is to use spinosad or spinosad products, and they will not only help control or completely control fire ants, but also other pests that you might have to deal with as well. Joe in Vernon, Texas, next up. Hey, Joe.
Good morning. Got a city-owned cemetery that they're opening up a new addition and going to put a new road in.
Uh-huh.
And they've got $2,000 to spend on trees. And I was wanting to know what kind, what size to get the most bang for our buck.
$2,000 for trees in a cemetery. Tell you what, we're going to have to go to a break here in just a minute. Can you hold on with me so we won't be rushed on this, Joe?
You bet.
That's a good question I'd like to talk to you about. We'll come back and talk trees with Joe and planting trees, a related, important related topic. If you want to be on the air, it's open line for you at 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, and I'll be right back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books, His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we've got Joe and Vernon still with us, and we're going to be talking about trees here to plant in a cemetery in Vernon, Texas. Joe, is that where it would be?
Yes.
Okay. You're a little colder than we are here, but I think that some of the things that I use here would work beautifully there. I've done a little work in Vernon. I did some soil cleanup out in the oil fields there, so I'm pretty familiar, and a big ranch that's there I've been involved in some. I'd make a note of some of the following trees. I think that the hated eastern red cedar, you know, a lot of people consider a weed, is definitely something that ought to be on the list that would do really well there. And then the cedar elm is another native tree. You know, it's the small leafed elm tree that we have. It would definitely be one I would put on the list. I'd put a couple of maples on the list. One would be the Caddo maple, which is actually native to Oklahoma and would do quite well there. But I would also put the Big Tooth maple on it, which is native down to in South Texas. but can take a lot colder temperatures than most people realize, and it'll get bigger and grow faster than the caddo. And it's just a absolutely fantastic tree, maybe my favorite tree at the moment. It's just so good. Red oak, the regular Texas red oaks, would do great there. There's a lot of other oaks that would do well also, but that would be the one I'd probably put at the top of the chart. And then one that would probably surprise everybody that I would consider would be Dawn Redwood. And Dawn Redwood is one of those trees that's not used nearly enough. It's one of the trees that'll grow anywhere in the country almost. Some of the most beautiful specimens I have ever seen in my life. Well, there's two places. One is Memphis, Tennessee, at a college called Rhodes College. There, they've got some that are just incredible. In fact, they've got Dawn Redwood. They've got Dawn Redwood and Ballcypress, and it shows you how great the Dawn Redwoods are. The other place where you can see fantastic, gigantic specimens of Dawn Redwood is in Boston. So, in other words, you can grow them anywhere across the country. It is a tree that can adapt to a lot of moisture in the soil, but it will also convert over to being a pretty xeric plant. In other words, a drought-tolerant plant. And it is spectacular in its growth. It has upright branching as opposed to the branches going out sideways like a ball cypress does. And it doesn't get brown and ratty looking at the end of the growing season like the cypresses do.
So, what size trees would you recommend?
Smallish trees. I used to plant great big old trees on landscape projects, and I finally got smart enough to realize that when we planted trees that were in the 1.5 to 2-inch caliper, or even smaller in some cases, and plant them properly with the natural organic techniques that we recommend, big, wide, ugly hole, backfill with nothing but the soil that comes out of the hole, plant the trees real high so that flare is exposed properly, that the small trees would actually catch up with and pass in size the trees that we planted that were much bigger and cost a whole lot more money.
Okay.
So I'd keep it down in the 1.5-inch size, probably something like that. And if you buy container plants, which is what most of the industry is, be sure to soak the root balls in water and get the soil and the girdling roots loosened up, the soil off, the flare and the girdling roots loosened and kind of pulled out and spread out a little bit, kind of a semi-bare rooting procedure, in other words, as you plant the trees. They'll take off and do well the very first growing season. If you can get them in while it's still dormant, it would be best. If you have to plant after things have leafed out, you just have to be more careful about doing it. And then the next best time would be next fall.
Okay, it sounds good.
I appreciate the call.
Well, thanks for that.
Okay.
Bye.
And if Joe or anybody else has any more questions about trees, we've got a whole book on trees, of Texas trees. Howard Garrett's Texas Trees covers those that I mentioned and many, many other trees. It's another one of those books of mine that has, you know, a lot wider range of use than just in Texas. But Dawn Redwood is one of those well-kept secrets for some reason. It is just a fantastic tree. I'm going to do a book, I think, one of these days, maybe on trees that have this real wide range where they will grow. I think that paper bark maple, for example, is in that category. And some of the other trees that we talk about quite a bit are Montezuma cypress is, and it's a whole lot better than regular ball cypress. But when you compare all the cypress trees to this Dawn Redwood, I think the Dawn Redwood for most people is a better way to go. No matter where you live. 866, and there's an open line, 866-444-3478. Here's Joanne in Ocean City, Maryland. Hello, Joanne. That was my fault, Joanne. Sorry about that. Go ahead and start over.
I'm really from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
but we're visiting in Ocean City and picked up your program.
Okay.
We have a problem with groundhogs, and our above-ground swimming pool has failed. We're ready to take it down, but it, the outside structure is good, and we were wondering about putting a vegetable garden within the structure to prevent the groundhog, instead of putting a fence around the garden, actually leaving the structure up and putting our garden within the sidewalls of the swimming pool. Take out the vinyl liner at the bottom.
Right, right. Well, that's an interesting idea. I'll have to admit to you, we don't have the little beasts here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So whether they can climb well enough to get up the wall of that and get into the vegetable garden, I don't know. Making it a raised bed, I don't have a problem with. In fact, you'll be the first to do this and in charge of this research for us, I guess. But whether it will keep the little furry animals out, I don't have any idea.
Okay, what about putting in, not so much the groundhog, but the other thing of putting in, building up the soil within the swimming pool and still and planting it within the pool, but not as high as the pool. I'm concerned about it being too much heat within the 4-foot structure.
Well, you're going to have to use a lot of soil anyway, so that's one way to go. I guess you're going to have to deal with climbing up and going over edge.
We have that ability to get in and out of it. So,
like when it was a swimming pool, or obviously.
Yeah, so just use the ladder from the pool.
I would think that the groundhogs could go under is the only thing that's going through my mind a little bit here, Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to go and come up, through the bottom of the thing. You may have to put some kind of expanded metal or a welded wire or chicken wire going down into the ground around the edge. And how deep you'd have to go to keep them from digging under and coming up from the bottom, I don't have any idea. But that's just something to think about.
Okay, thank you.
Give it a shot and let me know. It's an interesting concept you got. Let me know how it works out if you do it.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you later. Groundhog. I did have a little bit of experience with groundhogs. When I went to Texas Tech, we had groundhogs out there all over the place that were interesting to look at, but I've never dealt with them being a problem with the garden. Listening on WRGA in Rome, Georgia, it's Dirk's turn. Hello, Dirk.
Hey, good morning. It's that time of year for me to plant my fruit trees. I normally plant the ones that I'm using here where I live, but I've got a little spot of land where I don't live, and I can't watch them and monitor them for wildlife.
Uh-huh.
And I have heard rumored and never got an opportunity to ask an expert about whether to use fertilizer or not when I'm planting a tree that the deer can get to. And I've been told that the fertilizer will attract them to the fruit or the leaves of a tree more than it would one that's not fertilized. And I just wanted to see if there's an official statement on that, or what would you recommend doing? I'm going to try to fence them in, especially when they're young, because the bucks, when they go into their rutting season, they'll horn them and tear them all to pieces anyway. But until I can get that done, I just wondered when I put them in, should I fertilize them or not fertilize them?
Well, that's an interesting question, but from maybe a little bit different standpoint perspective than you were thinking. I agree, first of all, that physical barriers of some kind need to be done in the beginning. If you fertilized with the fertilizer that I don't recommend, high nitrogen synthetic fertilizer, that might create a situation that would attract the deer more so than not fertilizing, because you're putting an artificial amount of nitrogen into the soil and into the plants. There is a certain amount of stress, even though it'll make the plants grow, there's a certain amount of stress that could be associated with that, especially if you over-fertilize. And the wild animals, from sapsuckers to rats and mice and squirrels and other things, can detect that concentration of sugars, the plant trying to mend itself, help itself with this imbalance that's going on, and will come in and eat the bark. In that case, I don't see animals damage trees too often unless they're in some kind of stress. On the other hand, using organic fertilizer, compost, rock powders, the Garrett juice, stuff like that, that's real gentle organic fertilizers that feed the soil and feed the plant naturally, I don't think that they would help attract the wildlife at all. I don't think that'd be a problem.
Well, take just a second, point me in the right direction. I'm new to this, so I mean, I haven't planted a lot of fruit trees in my life anyway. The few I planted, I've only known to use the store-bought granulated fertilizer. And
I got you. That's what I figured you were thinking. We're coming up on a break here. If you can hold with me, we'll just go through the whole process. I haven't done that in a while about how I recommend planting trees. It's quite different and would help you with the fruit trees, and then we can talk about the fertility as well. Can you hang on with me?
Sure, I can.
All right, that's great. We'll talk to Dirk about planting trees in Rome, Georgia. He's lucky. He's got a little bit better soil than we do here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But no matter where you are, whether it's sandy soil or loamy soil or clay soils, I have a very specific way to plant trees. It's the same across the board. We'll talk about that and more when I come back. If you want our newsletter, I haven't mentioned this in a long time, it's free. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form that's on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Hard at work for over 60 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now you can create the softest shower of rain. 9 water patterns for a variety of uses. Or a lush green playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor, Farmer's Market is outstanding and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store. And go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back. And before we go back and talk with Dirk about planting fruit trees, somebody called in and said that the little furry beasts in Lubbock are not groundhogs but prairie dogs. And yeah, that's right. It's just that's the closest thing that I've ever gotten to a groundhog. I haven't dealt with them personally at all. In fact, I think the closest I've ever been to a groundhog is watching the one on television talk about the whether he saw his shadow or not. Back to talking about trees with Dirk. You there, Dirk?
I'm still here.
Do you have your trees purchased already?
I have not on this round.
Okay.
No, and I'm looking. They're just now putting them out in our stores and nurseries and so forth. So, yeah, I know the early bird gets the best tree.
Yeah,
so,
and you can buy in two ways. You can buy in a container, or they may even have bald and burlap. But really the best value, quite frankly, if you can find some good fresh trees, is bare rooted. I don't have any problem with that at all, and it'll save you a little money. So whether you buy them bare rooted or in a container or bald and burlap, it doesn't make any difference. We still do the same thing. We dig a hole that's saucer shaped, not a deep, thin hole like some people still recommend. With the smooth side, the most important thing you can do in planting a tree, two things, is plant the tree high and plant it in a real rough-sided wide hole.
Okay.
And it only needs to be wide at the surface. It doesn't need to be the same width all the way down. So a saucer-shaped hole is good. And then you you spread the roots out. You soak the roots either way, whether it's in a container or bare rooted in water. If you throw a little bit of what we call Garrett juice into the mixture, just enough to make it look like a light iced tea, and that'll inoculate the roots and help out. You put the little tree in the hole, you backfill. This is a real key, too, with nothing but the soil that comes out of the hole. No compost, no soil that's a different texture, no peat moss, no amendments of any kind, just the soil that comes out of the hole. The soil will be improved because of its aeration of being dug, and that's one of the reasons we do the big wide hole. We want those little roots, as they start to grow, to hit the soil that they're going to have to continue to grow in. When you backfill with some kind of softer soil or a different texture soil in the hole in the native soil, the roots go out and grow in that, and they kind of like that, and then they hit the wall of the native soil and they say, I don't like that, and they start circling in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up causing circling and girdling roots and all kinds of things. So we want to start off backfilling with loosened soil that is the native soil. As far as pruning the top back, a lot of the advisors will tell you to cut back a substantial amount of the top. I don't agree with that. I recommend just leaving everything there with one exception. And that is if you want to create a scaffolding branching system of three main, you know, limbs going out in kind of a upside down tripod so that it makes it easy to harvest the fruit later on. As far as the health of the plant goes and production, you don't need to cut the top back at all, and I especially don't recommend that on nut trees, walnuts and pecans and things like that. It is helpful on plums and peaches and some of those kind of things where you want the limbs growing out at a 45-degree angle. They're productive, and they're also easy to harvest. Pear trees need no pruning at all. Jujube trees need no pruning at all. The nut trees don't, of course. Now
my trees that I planted last year and the year before, I've got a couple of apple trees and some plum trees. Should those be pruned now?
Well, now you can prune apples or not. Apples are one of them that can go either way. Some people that grow apples commercially actually grow them like vines on an arbor. So they prune the heck out of them,
okay.
And they can be very productive that way. On the other hand, if you just let the apple grow into a nice, soft, graceful tree, they'll be productive as they can be. It just makes it a little harder to harvest the fruit, you know, that's up high in the
right.
tree. Same with the pears. The other one you mentioned was what?
The plum trees.
Yeah, plums tend to like a little bit of pruning every year to have good production. Peaches like quite a bit of pruning to have good production. And so you do that just to get the fruit count and weight kicked up a little bit. On the other trees we mentioned, it's not important at all. On the fertilizer that you specifically ask about,
mm-hmm.
we put down organic fertilizer and organic amendments, compost, rock minerals, and sugars, not in the hole, but on the surface after we have backfilled and watered the plant in. So we're fertilizing the surface of the soil so that the whole area, the whole orchard is fertilized, but we're not putting that stuff down in the hole right against the roots. You see what I mean?
Okay, I do see now, yeah.
That's the difference. You'll get off and running, the plants will be healthy, and you'll have a lot of fun growing them. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to get out of here for this weekend. And if any of you have any questions during the week, send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. That's also how you sign up for our free newsletter, or you can fill out the form that's on the homepage, dirtdoctor.com. I've enjoyed being with you. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for the questions and the tips, and we'll see you next time. Enjoy your gardens. I hope your weather's good enough to do some gardening. And don't forget to feed and water the birds.